Shalom! I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly yeshiva teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive it by going to the ministry's website, www.hebroots.org, and click on the link, Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is in MP3 format, and you can subscribe to automatically receive it through an RSS feed wherein it will automatically download to your iTunes, and from there, you could transfer it to your iPod and your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching at the ministry website, or you can download it to your computer and listen at your own convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Now, we need to remember that when we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because it is written in Psalm in chapter 40 in verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 in verse 7. Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24 verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So, Yeshua told us that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him, that the Torah is written of him. One of the primary things we need to understand regarding Yeshua in the Torah is that he is the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. We can understand this by doing a cross-reference of Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 with Luke chapter 2 verse 11 and James chapter 4 and verse 12. In Matthew in chapter 1 in verse 21, it is written, "And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name in Hebrew Yeshua," which means salvation, "because he will save his people from their sins." And then in Luke chapter 2 in verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So realizing that it is Yeshua who will save his people from their sins, and that Yeshua is our Savior, in the first part of James chapter 4 and verse 12, it is written, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that saves, who is Yeshua? He saves us from our sins. He's our Savior. The one that saves is the lawgiver, the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In this lesson, we are going to cover part 4 of what is Torah. And in the previous sessions, we learned that Torah is the Strong's number 8451 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, and it comes from the Hebrew word Yerah, which is the Strong's number 3384. And Yerah means to teach, to instruct, to lay a foundation, to point out as aiming the finger. So Torah means the teaching or the instruction of the God of Israel. It means to point out as aiming the finger, like a father would instruct his son. Now, it's important for us to realize that biblically, Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. We can see this from the end of Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, which says, "Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is Hebrew parallelism, where Zion is equivalent to Jerusalem, and the Torah is the same as the word of the Lord. We can see how Torah and the word of the Lord are synonymous by cross-referencing Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, with Psalm 119, verse 105. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "The commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is light." In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, "The commandment is a lamp." Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp." So your word is the same as your commandments. And your word is not only a lamp to my feet, but it's a light unto my path. So the word is light in Psalm 119, verse 105. The Torah is light in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Therefore, the Torah and the word of the Lord, or the word of God, are synonymous terms. And Yeshua is the goal or the target of the Torah, that which the Torah points us to. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, it says in the King James that Messiah is the end of the law. It gives the impression that he did away with the law, but the word end is the Greek word telos, which is the Strong's number 5056 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary. And the definition of the word is the goal or target. It means the end to which all things relate, the aim or the purpose of a thing. So this should be understood to read Yeshua is the goal of the Torah. And the Torah is written about Yeshua, Luke chapter 24, verse 44, as well as John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said, "We found him," referring to Yeshua, "of whom Moses in the Torah and the prophets did write." We can understand how the Torah is written about Yeshua because he said to the Jews in John chapter 5, verse 46, "Had you believed Moses," or believe what's written in the Torah, "you would believe me, for he wrote of me." And then Paul, in giving testimony of Yeshua, he taught Yeshua, as we're told in Acts chapter 28, verse 23, out of the Torah and out of the prophets from morning until evening. Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Do not even think the thought that I've come to destroy the Torah. Don't even think that I've come to do away with the Torah." Also, we can understand the verse means that destroying the Torah is a Hebrew idiom, which means to incorrectly interpret and incorrectly teach the Torah. See, the reason why Yeshua didn't come to incorrectly interpret or teach the Torah is because he's the one that gave the Torah. He knows what the Torah means. He's the author of it. So Yeshua says, "I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill," or to complete. Now, we're told from the story of the testimony of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, that a false witness says that Yeshua changed the customs of Moses or changed following the Torah. Because regarding Stephen, false witnesses were set up against him, and the false witnesses said that we've heard Stephen say that Yeshua will change the customs which Moses delivered us. That was a false accusation. Yeshua did not change the customs or do away with the Torah. That's because, as we mentioned earlier from James chapter 4, verse 12, he is the one that gave the Torah. He's the one that saves, and the one that saves gave the Torah. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, it says, "The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." The one that saves us is our king. The one that saves us is our judge. The one that saves us is our lawgiver. Our judge is also our king. Our judge is our lawgiver. Our lawgiver is our king and our judge. These are all synonymous with each other. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, we are told that we all will appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. Why? Because he is our judge. And James chapter 4, verse 12 says Yeshua is our lawgiver. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says Yeshua is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says he saves his people from their sins. So once again, we can see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And Yeshua instructed those who believe on him and who follow after him in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in doing this, Yeshua was making a reference or an association or a link back to Exodus chapter 20, the chapter on the giving of the Ten Commandments. And his reference is to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, which says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the context of Exodus chapter 20, verse 6 is the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the one that is speaking said of himself in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2, I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. So the one that said, I show mercy to those that love me and keep my commandments, is Yahweh Elohim, who brought his children out of Egypt. So Yeshua is Yahweh Elohim. He's the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says he was the rock that was in the wilderness. And so we are told in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 that if you're a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, we are told he who says he abides in him, or he who says that he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means the way you live your life, as he walked. Did Yeshua keep the biblical Sabbath? So should we. Did Yeshua keep the biblical festivals? So should we. Did Yeshua eat clean food? So should we. That is walking as he walked. And Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3 tells us that the Torah is the way we are to walk. It says that many people will go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that's Mount Zion, to the house of the God of Jacob, that's the temple. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. What is his ways? What is his paths? Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this is an overview of the information that we covered in previous sessions and going over what is Torah, in addition to explaining from Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 5 and 6 that Torah is defined as wisdom and understanding, where it is written, behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Proverbs chapter 3, the subject is the Torah of the God of Israel. Then it goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, which is defined in Deuteronomy in chapter 4 verse 6 as following the Torah. And then it says, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold under her. The Torah is not only a tree of life, but the Torah is more desired than gold. Psalm chapter 19 verse 7 and verse 10, it is written, the Torah of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple is those that are not taught and trained in the Torah, but have a heart toward the God of Israel. And those who are taught in the Torah, then you become wise to the ways of the God of Israel. Psalm chapter 19, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The pages of a Torah scroll are called leaves. Jeremiah chapter 36 verse 21, it is written, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll or a scroll, And then verse 23, it came to pass that when Yehudi had read three or four leaves, what's he doing? He's reading the pages of a scroll, or the pages of a Torah scroll. And one who follows the Torah in Psalm chapter 1 is like a tree planted by rivers of water. And the name of that tree is the tree of life, by looking at Revelation in chapter 22. So in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it is written, blessed is the man who, in verse 2, delights in the Torah of the Lord, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Now, the Torah tells us and defines for us what is sin. The Torah gives us the standard of the God of Israel and explains to us what it is that we would do to not measure up to a standard. That is called sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it is written, for by the Torah is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the Torah sin, or is following the Torah sin? God forbid. I had not known sin but by the Torah, for I had not known lust except the Torah said, you shall not covet. And then we have a definition of sin in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. The Torah explains to us what is holy or set apart or sanctified and what is an abomination or what is profane. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26, it is written, her priests have violated my Torah and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean. The Torah is the covenant of the God of Israel. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Obeying his voice is keeping his covenant. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. The Lord said to Moses, write these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. According to these words, I've made a covenant. Psalm chapter 78, verse 10. But they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his Torah. Transgressing the Torah is breaking the covenant. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they've transgressed the Torah, changed the ordinance, and broke the everlasting covenant. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Set a trumpet to your mouth because they've transgressed my covenant and transgressed my Torah. We can see how transgressing the Torah, which is sin, is breaking the covenant. Amos chapter 2, verse 4. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they've despised the Torah of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. A stony heart does not follow the Torah. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, it is written, but they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. So in describing not listening to or not following the Torah, it says in verse 12, they made their hearts as adamant stone. So a stony heart does not follow the Torah. And so because of the stony heart, the God of Israel desired to remove that stony heart and to replace it with a heart of flesh. And that's what he did through the new covenant, or the renewed covenant, as the word would mean in Hebrew. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, it is written, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant," or in Hebrew, a renewed covenant, "with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, the new covenant, or the renewed covenant, is a Torah-based covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 is quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah into their hearts, and I will write it in their minds." So what is the difference between the original covenant at Mount Sinai and the renewed covenant, which is associated with Mount Zion? Well, in the original covenant, the Torah got written upon a stony heart. And this was prophesied or foreshadowed that the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone. It was a prophecy that the Torah would be written upon a stony heart. And so the God of Israel found fault with the hearts of the people that they were stony. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, "For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So finding fault with the stony heart, the God of Israel wants to remove the stony heart and to replace it with a heart of flesh. He does this by putting his spirit within us. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will replace it," or give you, "a heart of flesh." So the original covenant at Mount Sinai is the Torah written upon a heart of stone. The new, or the renewed covenant, which brings us to Mount Zion, is the Torah written upon a heart of flesh. We can see the characteristics of a stony heart from the parable of the sower. In Mark, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Yeshua explained that there went out a sower to sow. Verse 4, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. But some fell on stony ground," and now we're going to be told the characteristics of stony ground or a stony heart. Verse 6, "It had no root, and it withered away." Then we're told in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, when Yeshua explained the parable, that whenever the word is sown, that Satan comes immediately to take away the word that is sown in our hearts. So in looking at the characteristics of a stony heart, in Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it is written, "These are they that are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. The word is not richly planted in their hearts. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises to test or to try the word, or for the word's sake, they become offended, or they throw away the word that was sown in their hearts." And this is what happened to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. We are told that at Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, that the children of Israel received the Torah, or the word, with gladness. Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, it is written, "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." But when they experienced trials and tribulations in the wilderness, they became offended, and they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and they decided that it would be better for them if they would return to Egypt. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And so a heart of stone has no root in themselves. And as a result, the stony heart can't overcome the flesh, can't overcome natural eyesight. And a stony heart is influenced by his natural circumstances and situation. However, a heart of flesh has spiritualized. It believes the promises of the God of Israel or the word of the God of Israel. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, a heart of flesh believes the word of God, loves the Torah, and thus becomes an overcomer. And so, in order to have that heart of flesh and be an overcomer, through the renewed covenant, the God of Israel desired to put his spirit within us, and by having his spirit within us would enable us, empower us to follow and to observe his Torah. Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 26 and 27, A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. And what happens when he puts the spirit within us? I will cause you to walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. We can see that through the help and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit within us, this is the way that a New Testament believer in Yeshua should be expressing his faith in him. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 verse 22, I delight in the Torah of God after the inward man. And it's the inward man that has the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's the inward man that has a heart of flesh that delights in the Torah of Yeshua. And so the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is the spirit of truth who teaches us, guides us, and leads us in following the Torah. Yeshua said in John chapter 16, verse 13, Howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. But what is truth? Truth is the Torah, or the commandments of the God of Israel. Psalm 119, verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So your Torah is truth, all your commandments are truth. Yeshua said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, which is his commandments, which is his Torah, then you are my disciples indeed. And by following his Torah, you will know the truth, that's his word, and the truth, his Torah, will make you free. Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17, verse 17, Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So, the Holy Spirit is given to lead us, teach us, and guide us in truth and following the Torah. And the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome the evil inclination or the sin nature or the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. And through the Holy Spirit, we bear spiritual fruit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 through 25. And the Holy Spirit will teach us how to love Yeshua and how to follow or keep his commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The Torah is a witness against us. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 16 and verse 19. The Lord said to Moses, Now therefore write this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. We can see how the Torah is a witness against us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 26. Take this book of the Torah and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. We are to do or follow the words of the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever and ever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. Not following Torah results in the punishment of the God of Israel upon his people. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, because they've not hearkened unto my words, nor to my Torah, but rejected it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your Torah. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, because we have sinned against him. Rejecting Torah means that you will not be a priest of Yahweh. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, it is written, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Torah at his mouth. So the priest of the God of Israel teaches the Torah of the God of Israel to his people. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it is written, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, what is defined as knowledge or lack of knowledge? Because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you, and you will be no priest to me. Seeing you've forgotten the Torah of your God, I will forget your children. So the Torah is knowledge. When you reject knowledge, when you reject the Torah, he rejects you as being a priest before him. We can commit Torah sins of ignorance. Numbers chapter 15, verse 29. You shall have one Torah for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among them. Committing one sin is equivalent to breaking the entire Torah. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. James chapter 2, verse 10, it is written, for whosoever shall keep the whole Torah, but offend in one point, he's guilty of breaking the entire Torah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. So even though if you break any aspect of the Torah, you've broken the entire Torah, not all Torah commandments have equal weight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Yeshua explained, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to break the commandments or to not follow the Torah, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the Torah, judgment, mercy, and faith. These things ought you to have done, and not leave the other undone. We can see how not all Torah commandments have equal weight when Yeshua was asked in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36, what is the great commandment or the greatest commandment in the Torah? Yeshua did not reply and say they all have equal weight, but he said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This is the Shema, or Hear, O Israel. And he says that this is the first or the greatest commandment. Then he says, the second greatest commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And Yeshua said, on these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. In other words, all the commandments are related to loving the God of Israel with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Being without the God of Israel is the same as being without his Torah. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Now for a long season Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without Torah. Not following the Torah is not obeying the voice of Yahweh. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 13. And Yahweh said, because they have forsaken my Torah, which I've set before them, and they've not obeyed my voice. Daniel chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his Torah. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your Torah by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Forsaking Torah is not walking in the judgments of the God of Israel. Psalm 89, verse 30. If his children forsake my Torah and walk not in my judgments. Not following Torah is not obeying the voice of Yahweh and not following his statutes or his testimonies. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 23. But they obeyed not your voice, neither walked in your Torah. They've done nothing at all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this evil to come upon them. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 23. Because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his Torah, nor his statutes, nor his testimonies. Therefore, this evil has happened upon you as it is this day. Not following Torah is not being obedient and not walking in his ways. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 24. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his Torah. Not following Torah is being disobedient and rebellious toward the God of Israel. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26 and verse 29. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your Torah behind their backs and testified against them that you might bring them again unto your Torah and hearkened not unto your commandments. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that this is a rebellious people that will not hear the Torah of the Lord. The wicked don't follow the Torah. Psalm 119, verse 53. Whore has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your Torah. Psalm 119, verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me which are not after your Torah. Psalm 119, verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from your Torah. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4. They that forsake the Torah praise the wicked. Those who don't follow the Torah, their prayers are an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 and verse 23. It will come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, that all these curses shall come upon you. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. And then in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, he that turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be in abomination. Now, since we've had a series of teaching to help us to understand what is Torah, and that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and we're supposed to follow the Torah, now the question becomes, whose Torah do we follow? Do we follow Yeshua's Torah, or do we follow the Torah of the rabbis. And what is the Torah of the rabbis? Well, the rabbis see that at Mount Sinai, not only was the written Torah given, but there was an oral Torah that was given. And the Torah of the rabbis is that the oral Torah, which is the interpretation of the Torah as explained by the rabbis, that the oral Torah is above, or it supersedes, the written Torah. And in the Wikipedia encyclopedia, it explains that the first century Pharisees became rabbinic Judaism. The Pharisees, from the Hebrew parashim, from parash, meaning to separate, were, depending on the time, a political party, a social movement, and a school of thought among Jews that flourished during the Second Temple era, from 536 BC to 70 AD. After the destruction of the Second Temple, Pharisaic Judaism came to be known as Rabbinic Judaism, and then simply as Judaism. The Pharisees were an ancient sect of Judaism. They existed during the time of Rabbis Hillel the Elder and Shammai, and during the time of Yeshua. They are the direct predecessor to what eventually became known as Rabbinic Judaism. In contrast to other Jewish groups of the time, such as the Sadducees, the Pharisees held that the books of the Hebrew Bible, known as the Tanakh, known as the written word of God, has always been transmitted in parallel with an oral tradition. They pointed as proof to the text of the Torah itself, where they said many words were left undefined and many procedures mentioned without explanation or instruction. The reader is assumed to be familiar with the details from other sources. This parallel set of material was originally transmitted orally and came to be known as the Oral Torah. By the year 200, much of this material was edited together into the document known as the Mishnah, which is the core document of Rabbinic Judaism. In the art scroll to the book of Genesis, Art Scroll is an Orthodox Jewish publisher. In the introduction on page 41, it explains how the rabbis teach that the Oral Torah was taught at Mount Sinai. The Oral Torah was taught in its entirety to Moses during his 40 days and 40 nights in heaven. In the Sanchino, Midrash Rabbah, volume 6, page 736, the rabbis teach that the Talmud was given at Mount Sinai. They were all given to Moses on Sinai and contained statutes and ordinances, the Torah, Mishnah, Talmud, and Haggadah. In Rabbinic Judaism, washing your hands is required in following the Torah. In the Torah anthology to Deuteronomy, volume 17, page 32, it explains, ritual washing of both hands before a meal containing bread is mandatory, even if one's hands are immaculate. In the Talmud, in Berahot 19a, it explains that you could be excommunicated for not washing your hands. Rabbi Joshua, son of Levi, further said, in 24 places we find that the Beit Din, or the rabbinical court, inflicted excommunication for an insult to a teacher, and they are all recorded in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer asked him where. He replied, see if you can find them. He went and examined and found three cases. One of a scholar who threw contempt on the washing of the hands. Another of one who made derogatory remarks about scholars after their death. And a third who made himself too familiar toward heaven. It was Eleazar, son of Hanak, who raised doubt about the washing of hands. And when he died, the Beit Din sent and had a large stone placed on his coffin to teach you. If a man is excommunicated and dies in his excommunication, the Beit Din stones his coffin. Understanding that the Pharisees followed the oral Torah, now we can understand the situation in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 39, where it is written, in as he, Yeshua, spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So this Pharisee believes that Yeshua is a Torah observant Jew, which he is. But he has in his mindset that Yeshua follows rabbinic oral law. And Yeshua, in dining with him, doesn't do what the oral law or the Pharisees are taught that they're required to do. That is to wash their hands before they eat bread. And Yeshua used this occasion to do a teaching. In Luke chapter 11, verse 39, the Lord said to him, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup, or those things that are external, but your inward part, that your heart, is full of ravening and wickedness." So the Torah of the rabbis is, they believe that there's an oral Torah and a written Torah, and the interpretation of the written Torah is what they call the oral Torah, and therefore they see that the oral Torah supersedes the written Torah. This is in contrast to the Torah of Yeshua, Yeshua being the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and following his Torah is following the written Torah, being led by the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, who will lead us and guide us in all truth. Given the fact that Yeshua is the lawgiver who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, James chapter 4 and verse 12, we need to understand that the Torah is the will of the God of Israel for our lives. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, it is written, "I delight to do your will, O my Elohim. Yes, your Torah is within my heart," or written upon my heart. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," well, what's his will? His Torah, and following his Torah, and it being written upon our heart. "If we ask anything according to what he said in the Torah," or in his word, "that he has given to us through covenant, he hears us, and we have the petitions that are necessary of him." The Torah is the healing, or the way in which the nations will be healed from their sin. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. "And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which is the Torah, which bare 12 manner of fruit." The fruit is from following the Torah. "And the leaves of the tree," the leaves of the tree is a reference to the pages of a Torah scroll, or following the Torah, "were for the healing of the nations." And finally, Yeshua's Torah is to be kept forever. Psalm 119, verse 44. "So shall I keep your Torah continually forever and ever." So let's summarize what we've covered in this session regarding understanding what is Torah. Torah means the teaching or the instruction of the God of Israel. It's related to the Hebrew word yirah, which means to point out as aiming the finger. Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. The narrow definition of the Torah is it's the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Since the Torah is the Word of God, the broad definition is Torah is everything from Genesis to Revelation. Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation, and he saves us from our sin. He is our Savior, and he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. The Torah is wisdom and understanding. The Torah is more desired than gold. The Torah is a tree of life. The new covenant is Torah-based. The original covenant is the Torah written upon a heart of stone. And a heart of stone won't obey and follow the Torah and can't overcome the desires of the flesh, the influence of natural eyes in believing natural circumstances above the word of God or the promises of God, and the new covenant or the renewed covenant is the Torah written upon a heart of flesh through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who teaches us, leads us, and guides us in how we are to follow the Torah. The God of Israel found fault with the hearts of the people. He did not find fault with the Torah itself. From Yeshua teaching on the parable of the sower, we learn the characteristics of a stony heart is as follows. It receives the word with gladness. It's excited about the word of God. But when Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown in their heart, they only endure for a time in believing the word of God, the promises of God. But when affliction or persecution comes to try or test that word that is sown in their heart, they become offended and they throw away the Torah or believing the word or the promises of God. And through the redemptive work of Yeshua, when he shed his blood on the tree to provide for us forgiveness of sin, he then makes a renewed covenant with us. He gives us his Holy Spirit, and he writes his Torah upon our heart. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Truth is following the Torah or the word of the God of Israel. And we are able to bear fruit in our lives for his kingdom through the help of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Yeshua, who is the true vine. John chapter 15 and verse 1. Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and we follow Yeshua's Torah by obeying what is written in the Bible with the help and the inspiration and the teaching and the instruction of the Holy Spirit. The Torah is the will of the God of Israel, and the Torah is to be kept forever and ever. Now remember that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. You can do so by writing to the ministry address, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio. Strasburg is spelled S-T-R-A-S-B-U-R-G. The zip code is 44680. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. At the website, you will see different categories of learning, and for each tab, there is a subject, and for each subject, you will find various written articles, audio and video teachings to help you to understand the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has a web store, and you can go to the web store by going to the website www.hebroots.org. And the web store has much material to help you in your studies. And there you can find a variety of CDs, DVDs, and books. Now, remember these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says that he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk. That means to live our lives even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his Father. Even so, he instructed those who follow him and believe on his name in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Shalom. In Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.